Shalom Aleichem. This is a recording of the shiur that I gave on Shabbos, Parshas Kisavo. We're on Ksuvos Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. That's going to be a little bit of a quick digest. We're on Ksuvos 11a. The Mishnah at the top of the page had introduced us to three women who theoretically would be Besulos. We would assume that they were Besulos. But something happened to them that would cause us to question their status as a Besula. They started out as not Jewish and then they became Jewish by conversion. They were captives who were held for ransom and then finally redeemed. Or was a Shifcha, a maidservant who was then freed. And there would be a concern that something might have happened to them when they were still not Jewish, when they were still being held captive, when they were still as servants. And what our Mishnah taught us is that in the event that those existences were before they were 3 years old, we're not worried. Their status is that of a Besula for reasons that we already discussed last time. So the Gemara began with a statement from Rav Huna, which wasn't from our Masechta. The statement that Rav Huna is making is actually a statement from elsewhere, which we are making relevant to our Mishnah. And Rav Huna said that if a minor wants to convert, then we convert the minor. He used the term madbilin, we immerse the minor. We discussed that later. Al-Daz Beisdin. Beisdin says, we commit that this person is going to keep the mitzvos. On behalf of the child, they substitute intent because the child is not capable of giving intent. So we started out with some questions that do not appear in our Gemara. Number one, we wanted to know, why is it that the child would be the one who would have to provide consent? What about the parents? Where are the parents? In fact, we're going to see further along in the Gemara that if the parents are converting, their das, their consent, is effective. The value of parental consent is because they say the kid is going to do what we say as we raise the child. The child is going to do mitzvahs because we say so. We are converting as well. And therefore, the case here, where we're talking about the child's own consent, or the consent by the court, has to be talking about where the parents are not converting. And because the parents are not converting, therefore it's back to the child. The child cannot consent. The Beis Din can do it. But that raises a question. If this is a case in which the parents are not converting, what in the world is this kid doing here? How does this kid come to convert? So I brought you on the sheet, the Me'iri. And the Me'iri says that what we're talking about is, indeed, where the child wants to convert on his own. The parents are not there, or the parents are not alive anymore, whatever the case is. And so if there were a parent there, that would be great. But since there isn't, and the child is saying, convert me, so the Beis Din testifies that the child is going to be taken care of, or the people who bring the child there, perhaps, are the ones who are going to make this acceptance on behalf of the child. It's a little bit unclear in the Me'iri's wording, but that's what's going on. The kid came on his own. Rashi, at least the edition of Rashi that we have in our Gemara, says something else. Rashi says something that's very difficult to understand. The top Rashi on the Gemara says, "Im ein lo av, if he has no father, the imala the atole his gayer, and the mother who is not converting apparently brought him to convert." What's the difference between father and mother? What are we talking about here? The Rashba says that Rashi is talking about that the father is not around and the mother is not converting either, but the mother brings him. I don't know why specifically this way, that the father's not around and the mother brings him. The same thing should be true if the mother's not around and the father brings the child. What exactly is the difference? It's really unclear. In fact, we're going to see in the Rashba in a little bit that there really is no distinction between father and mother regarding speaking for the child or bringing the child for conversion. The Ritva actually has a different addition in Rashi, saying that both parents bring the child and say, we are not converting, in the Ritva's edition of Rashi. This edition of Rashi is difficult. So at the Shir, it was suggested that maybe somehow this connects to Shimshon's mother accepting Nazirus for him, and Shmuel's mother accepting or making a vow to dedicate him, which are certainly interesting ideas. Although, the Gemara Nazir informs us that Shimshon is actually not bound to be a Nazir by his mother's acceptance, and the Radak in the first parak in Shmuel points out that Shmuel is not bound by his mother's vow either. Nonetheless, it's an interesting idea for sure. One other question we dealt with here. What about the need to teach the child mitzvos? Where did that go? That doesn't seem to be here at all. So the Ritva says, yeah, because it's not a firm requirement. Yes, it's supposed to be. It's what we do as part of conversion process. But if you didn't have it, you're still Yotzei. It's still Yotzei. You're still a conversion. The Rambam says this. I brought it on the sheet in source base. He says, Gershlo Bodku Acharov. If somebody comes to convert and they didn't investigate his motivations, whether he's doing it for marriage or for money or whatever, Oshlo Hudiyuhu HaMitzvos Va'onshan, or they didn't inform him about mitzvos and their penalties, Umal V'Tavol B'fnei Gimel Hadyotos, and he has bris mila, he immerses in front of three regular people, Hareza Ger. That's valid. That's valid as conversion. The Rambam uses that to explain the conversions of Shlomo HaMelech's wives and Shimshon's Plishti wife to suggest that actually they had this kind of odd substandard conversion. But it also may fit with Hillel's stories in the Gemara and Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, where conversion seems to happen before the converts have learned, right? The story about the fellow who comes to Hillel and says, teach me the Torah while you're standing on one foot, and so on. It seems to fit with the idea also, which is brought as halacha, that a person who comes to convert only really needs to accept, I'm going to do whatever the Torah tells me to do, without knowing exactly what that is. They don't have to have learned the entire Torah before converting. Okay. There's more to be said, obviously, about this point. But what we have then is Rav Huna making a statement that the Beis Din provides consent and commitment in place of the minor, where the parents are not converting, do not live, whatever the case may be. So the Gemara asks a question, still not related to Ksuvos. The Gemara asks, we are now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. My Kamash Malan, what exactly is Rav Huna teaching me? Why did I need Rav Huna to tell me that the Beis Din can do this? Are you trying to teach me that it is considered beneficial to be a Jew, to convert to Judaism, and that one can acquire a benefit for somebody else without their knowledge, without their consent? Tanena, I already know that. Zachan la'adam shalom b'fanav, vein chavan la'adam shalom b'fanav. We've learned elsewhere in various contexts that you can acquire merit on behalf of somebody without their knowledge and consent. You can't acquire liability for them, but you can acquire benefit for them. If I'm walking along the street and I see a $20 bill, and I pick it up having in mind that it's for Clive, then Clive gets it. That's the way that it works. So why is Rav Huna making a point about it in the context of conversion? So the Gemara says, because I might not have assumed that conversion is actually considered a benefit. I might have said, this fellow is happier not having all these rules. He doesn't like having rules. He likes the fact that he can go anywhere he wants and walk into any restaurant and eat whatever he likes. He doesn't have to worry about all of our rules and our Yontif rules and our Shabbos rules and all of that. We have a principle which comes up elsewhere in the Gemara, that it is assumed that an Eved, a servant, prefers not to have all the rules of Judaism. So I would have said it's not necessarily a benefit. Maybe it's a liability. Kamash Malan Dahani Mili Godol the Tom Tam the Isura. However, the answer is no. That's true if you're dealing with an adult, somebody who has already lived a life without our rules. Avakatan Zhusula, but if he grows up in the system, he has them when he's a child, then it's something that he will in fact enjoy. Children often like rules. So don't assume that this would be a negative. We assume that it would actually be a positive. So this is the discussion of conversion of a child, and now we bring it back to our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, hey, our Mishnah could be read as supporting Rav Huna. Lema Messiah Lay. Can we say that this supports Rav Huna? We learned in our Mishnah, Hagiyores Vashvuya Vashivcha Shnifta Vishnizgaru Vishnishtaharu Pchusas Mibnos Shalashan Vyom Echad. Our Mishnah talked about the case of the person who converted to Judaism, was freed from captivity, or was a maid before they were 3 years old. End of quote. So that means somebody could convert before they're 3 years old. My love to Atbilinu Aldas Beis Din. Isn't that talking about where the conversion happens with Beis Din providing the consent? To which the Gemara says, who said that? Why do you have to say that? That isn't proof from our Mishnah. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about where the parents are also converting. The Gemara first asks, my love that Bilinu Aldas Beis Din, isn't that where they convert the child with the consent provided by Beis Din? Lo, not necessarily. Hacha l'may eskinen, what's our case? Begersh nizgayru banav ubnos avimo. We're talking about somebody who converted with his children. So the child is converted with the parent to Nechalahu b'may David Abuhon, because they're happy with what their parents do. They're going to emulate what the parents do. And this is where the Rashba makes the comment, I brought it for you on the sheet in Source Gimel, that there's no difference whether it's the father, whether it's the mother, makes zero difference. I brought it on the sheet. If you take a look at Source Gimel, you can see the Rashba there. So we have Rav Huna saying that conversion of a minor by a Beis Din works. Our Mishnah is not necessarily valid as a basis for that, because our Mishnah is not talking about Beis Din. Our Mishnah could be talking about whether parents are converting. Father, mother, both, whatever. Fine. The Gemara now, though, continues from Rav Huna to say a new thing regarding conversion of a minor, and this will also tie in eventually to our Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. Rav Yosef says, the child is able to refuse the conversion once they become an adult. And Rashi says, Higdilu Ketanim Shin Nisgairu Va'afilu Amavien. Even if they converted with the parent, even if it's not Beis Din doing the consent. Nonetheless, the child reaches maturity, the child is able to say, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not interested. So the Gemara brings two challenges to this idea, which connect back to our discussion. The first one connects back to our discussion of the Besula and the Ksuba. Esve Abaye. Abaye asks from our Mishnah. Once again, Hagiyores Vashvuya Vashivcha Shenifdu Vishnizgairu Vishnishtachru Pchusas Mibnos Shalashan Biyom Echad. We said that in the event that she converted under the age of 3, her ksuba is 200 zuz, a basula, but she has a ksuba, is all that Abaye cares about. That means that in the event that she gets married and divorced, she's entitled to a ksuba. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that when they become an adult, they can walk away, and Abaye's assumption is, right now, they can walk away when they're 45, they can walk away whenever they want as adults. Yavin laksuba da azlava achla begiyusa. You're gonna give her the ksuba, and then she can simply walk out and then eat it at McDonald's, whatever she wants. That's not right. Why are you giving her a ksuba? And then she's gonna walk away from Judaism altogether. So the Gemara's answer is l'chi gadla. No, we only give it to her when she's an adult. So the Gemara says, fine, l'chi gadla nami m'chi avanafka. That's when she's gonna walk away. She's gonna walk away as an adult. So the Gemara says no. The Kevin Shigdila Shah Achas Vlomichas Ashuv Ena Yechola Limchos. That option is not there. If once she is an adult, even just briefly, Shah Achas doesn't mean literally an hour. She's an adult briefly and she does not reject her conversion. From that point on, she's now stuck, so to speak. If she stops practicing Judaism, she's still a Jew. She's just a Jew who's not doing mitzvos. But she's not able to walk away at that point. Side note, in terms of that, this is problematic. How do you know when she is an adult? Meaning, the fact that we use age 12, age 13 to determine maturity is really only a rabbinic statement, because we're stuck in terms of being able to identify people as mature. Really, it's supposed to be about when they show the signs of physical maturity. We're not sitting there watching every moment. How in the world do you know when she is an adult? So the position of the Rashba, as well as the Tosas Yishanim in the side of our page, is that rejecting it requires that she start rejecting it before she becomes an adult, and then continues in that rejection. So she's 11 years old and saying, I'm not interested in any of this Jewish stuff. And then she continues in that way. So when she reaches adulthood, that's it. She's not Jewish. A flip side is presented in the Aruch HaShulchan in the name of the Rush, that she observes Judaism from before becoming an adult, and continues for a day or two afterwards. That demonstrates that she wishes to be a Jew. So the first view, the Rashba and the Tosfos Yeshanim, is that in the event that she actively rejects it from before she reaches adulthood and then continues, then she's no longer Jewish. Whereas the Rosh says, we look to see, is she actively observing Judaism and continuing a day or two afterwards. There's also a toast was quoted in the Rashba who says something that may be more familiar to people. The statement of this toast was quoted in the Rashba is that actually we have to inform them when they become adults of the reward and punishment for mitzvos and their option of walking away. And that's when the clock starts ticking for rejection. It's how they respond to it, which presumably is not an on-the-spot thing. But they have the opportunity to think it over and then continue acting as a Jew. This requirement of reinforming them does not actually appear in the Shulchan Aruch. Nonetheless, I understand that it is a normal practice. Okay, more to be said about that. We said a little bit more in the Shir, but let's go further in the Gemara. So Abaye's challenge of, hey, you're giving them a ksuba, then they're going to walk away, is overridden here, because we say, no, you give it to them only once they are already... only once they are already adults, and at that point, they won't be able to walk away. Masiv Rava. Then you get Rava's challenge. And Rava's challenge comes from the first Mishnah in the third parak, the third chapter of Ksuvos. There we're going to talk about Knas, in the terrible case in which a woman, God forbid, is raped. And specifically there, they're talking about a Nara, a girl who is 12 years old, but not yet 12 and a half. A very odd in-between category, as we'll have to discuss later in the Gemara. So one of the things that happens in the event of a rape is that the rapist has to pay a Knas, has to pay a fine. So the Mishnah there says that's not only true for, so to speak, a normal case of a Na'ara, but it's true even when there are questions regarding their lineage. Elu Na'aros Sheish Len Knas. The following Na'aros have a Knas. They receive that payment of the fine. Habal HaMamzeres, even if she is a Mamzeres, born out of an illegitimate relationship. Vala Nesina Vala Kutit. I'm not going to go into Nesina and Kutit right now. They're also people of questionable lineage, questionable adoption of Judaism historically by the Nesinim and Kutim. Val HaGioras, just to say briefly, fine. The Nesina is descendants of the Givonim. Look in Yehoshua, I think it's chapter 9. And the people who convinced Yehoshua to make a pact with them inappropriately, the Kutim are the Samaritans who had been moved in. The Assyrians moved them into the northern kingdom of Israel when they exiled the 10 tribes, and they had some kind of conversion to Judaism, but their status also is unclear. So there's a knas for them as well. There's a fine they get paid as well. Va'giyores, as well as the giyores, va'shvuya va'lashivcha, shenivdu v'shnizgayru v'shnishtachru b'chusas mibnos shaloshanim v'yom echad. The women of our Mishnah who converted under the age of 3, were ransomed under the age of 3, were freed from being slaves under the age of 3, in all these cases, yesh lahen knas. They receive the fine. They get paid. So Rava asked the same question Abaye asked about the ksuba. V'yamr higdilu yichon limchas, if as adults they're able to walk away, yavinan laknas da azlava achle b'giyusa, you're going to give her the fine, then she's going to go eat it as a non-Jew. She's going to go use it at McDonald's. L'chi gadla, once again, give it to her when she's an adult. L'chi gadla nami mimchi avanafka, but then she could protest and leave? No. Kevin shigdila sha achas v'lo michasa shuveni yichola limchas. Once she is an adult, for sha achas, some brief period of time, and she doesn't protest, she can't protest anymore. So the answer that we give is the same answer. So the Gemara concludes the discussion by asking, why did I need two questions here? Abaye regarding giving her the ksuba, and Rava regarding giving her the knas, the fine payment. Why don't you just ask the question once? Your answers are the same, and they suffice for both questions. So Abaye lo amar karava. Abaye didn't ask based on the case of rape, because hasam knasa hainu taimash leichote nisker. Because I don't care how she spends the ksuba, she could do whatever with the knas. I don't care how she spends the fine, she could do whatever she wants with the fine. The point of the fine is to punish the guy. It's not like you're paying her and now everything is all right with her anyway. The fine isn't helping her. The point of the fine is that this sinner, this rapist, should lose something here. And so one of the things that we do is that we're going to make him pay a fine. But if she decides she doesn't want to be Jewish anymore and she wants to spend the fine at McDonald's, that's her business. So that was why Abaye didn't ask Rava's question. Rava lo amar ke Abaye, and Rava didn't ask from the ksuba either. Why? Ksuva hainu taima shlote kalabeinav lehotzia. Because the point of ksuba is not, again, about how she's going to spend it. The point of the ksuba is that we want to prevent him from divorcing her on a whim, frivolously. Mission accomplished. It isn't about how she spends it. She can go spend it in whatever way she chooses. Okay, so that in a nutshell is basically what we talked about. I did have one other note that I wanted to discuss, which we'll do in the beginning next week, God willing, of how sure the Beis Din has to be that this kid is going to grow up to follow mitzvahs in order to consent on behalf of the child. I wanted to show you a couple of opinions, and then we, God willing, we'll continue in the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.